iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com. iGlobalNews.com.
Listening to the iSpirituality Show, part of iGlobal Radio. Hello and welcome to iGlobal Radio and iSpiritual, our special program, as we now cover and also follow up on the Sanskriti Foundation UK, which is a registered charity behind scores of kathas, dharma yatras, youth camps, discourses and various seva, selfless service that is, and satsang activities in the UK and India. They're playing host to a rare mega event straight from India. It's a 9-day Ram Katha recited by Bhai Shri Ramesh Bhai Oza, and it started on the 13th of February and runs through to the 21st of February at the iconic Sandipani Vidya Nikatan in Porbandar, Gujarat. It's the first time Pujya Bhai Shri is reciting Ram Katha at Sandipani Vidya Nikatan since it opened in February 1992. Now, it's the biggest virtual katha since lockdown, attracting an audience of over 500,000, and it's raising funds and awareness for a school, especially for tribal children in Gujarat. Now, joining us here today are two devotees and also organizers of the event currently taking place right now, and that is Preeti Raichura and also Bhavit Mehta as well. Greetings and welcome to both of you. Welcome, Preeti, and welcome, Bhavit.
Thank you, Tony.
Hi, Tony.
So what's been the latest? What have been your most recent observations?
For me, I mean, again, you know, this katha is absolutely awesome. It's very different to what I've experienced before. It's all about love. It's all about how do we bring about positivity in our lives. And I think that's really, really important at this moment in time because of this, you know, global crisis that we are all in. So I think it's really, really important for everyone's mental health, whether you listen to the Ramayana or not. So for me, it's really important. But also, this has definitely come out for lots of people that I know. While we've been at home, while we've been in this lockdown, lots of people have had the opportunity to really think about what their priorities are, really think about what it is that they actually should be doing in life. And I know I'm certainly one of them, because this has really brought things back to home. You know, we all live chaotic lives, and, you know, we've probably not been spending enough time with our family, our parents, our children. And we've had the perfect opportunity to do that. But today, Bhai Shri spoke about knowledge and devotion. And Bhavit, that again was, I mean, it was absolutely lovely. And he was referring to Tulsidas Ji in terms of what Tulsidas Ji feels that he's, what does Tulsidas actually favor more? Is it knowledge or is it devotion? Certainly for me, I think I prefer the path of devotion, and I find that's easier. I mean, you know, we can all just chant and listen to Kirtan. Knowledge, of course, we all need knowledge, because knowledge is something that keeps the world going. Bhai Shri spoke a lot about this, and there was bits that I need you to explain in more detail here.
Sure thing, absolutely, Preeti. I think there are people of all different types of mindsets, right? There are those amongst us who prefer the path of knowledge. They like things to be logical, very scientific. They need the evidence. They don't necessarily believe in the magic and the mystery and the mythology. They have a kind of a mindset that just, you know, they need to read and understand and know what's the symbolic meaning of these things. That path of knowledge is really important. And the path of devotion, of course, is where we can become closer to God, where we, you know, sing, like you say, do his kirtan, sing his name and understand and learn. And which of these two paths is favored in the Ramayana? So Tulsidas Ji is the author of the Ramcharitmanas, which is the most famous form of the Ramayana right now that's popularly sung. That's the text that Pujya Bhai Shri is referring to in this Ram Katha. And what Bhai Shri was saying today is that actually Tulsidas Ji is very much in the middle path. He doesn't favor either the path of knowledge or the path of devotion. In fact, what he's done through his poetry very cleverly is said that both of them are like two tracks that go side by side. If you are the type of person that is on the path of devotion, and your love for God, or your love for divinity, or your love for spirituality is the stronger feeling, then that love will eventually turn into pure knowledge. And if you are on the path of knowledge, and you seek in that way, you ask questions and you read and you ask more questions and you understand and you expand your knowledge more and more and more and more, eventually the fruit of that will be pure love for the Lord. And so it doesn't matter which of the two paths you follow, you're given the freedom to follow either one of them or keep a bit of both in your life. And that was really, I think, quite reassuring to people who might think, am I doing the right thing? Am I on the right path? Or am I doing something wrong? So that reassurance was given right at the start of the Katha today.
This is the iSpirituality Show from iGlobal. Find out more about the iSpirituality Show and other big events such as the Great Big End in Money Show on the 26th and 27th of March by logging on to the iGlobal event section on iglobalnews.com.
You know, according to Hinduism, you know, we know that there's four different schools of thought. And yet, already, you know, we're talking about knowledge and we're talking about devotion. And I already confess that for me, it is all about devotion for me. And it is all about love. And it's all about pleasing God. And by pleasing God, you please the other people around him, all of his, you know, his extended family, which is the whole world, by doing seva and that kind of stuff. But knowledge is something that can, for somebody like me, can be very complex because of the four schools of thought.
Yeah, well, you know, there are pitfalls of both. So, for example, if you follow only devotion, sometimes that can lead to blind faith. That there are so many examples of that in every religion, in every part of the, every part of the world, and not just the religions that exist now, but even those of the past, right? So, and if you sometimes follow the path of knowledge, and imagine if you just accumulate lots of knowledge and information, great, but so what? What's the purpose of that? It's not quite enough just to have that knowledge, but to be able to imbibe that knowledge into wisdom is, I guess, the purpose of the human birth. This is what Paishu was saying today. Now, that kind of thing, to take that knowledge and turn it into wisdom, is very, very difficult. And it can only really be done with the grace of a guide or a mentor or a guru. Now, whether that's a physical living person, whether that's a book, whether it's, you know, some other form, but we need a bit of guidance. Otherwise, that knowledge will just sit there and actually become something else.
This is the iSpirituality Show from iGlobal. Find out more about the iSpirituality Show and other big events such as the Great Big End in Money Show on the 26th and 27th of March by logging on to the iGlobal event section on iglobalnews.com.
Poet Paishu also spoke about good qualities. And again, during this lockdown, I think, again, for myself, I've certainly taken time out. How can we all become better people? How can we serve other people that are probably going through such a traumatic time if they've lost loved ones, or people that are even homeless and that are sometimes being forgotten? And he spoke about good qualities and how we can bring about good qualities such as love, devotion. He was speaking a lot about ocean of nectar. Explain that to me in a bit more detail.
He was talking about, referring to one of the very popular and well-known stories in Indian, in the Puranas, you know, which people might refer to as sort of Indian mythology or Hindu mythology, although I don't quite like that word mythology. But one of the stories is the churning of the Milky Ocean. And there's this, you know, scene where there's this churning going on one side you've got all the devatas, all the good forces, on one side you've got all the bad forces, and they're both sort of churning this ocean, and out comes a whole load of things. There's gems come out, and then there's some poison comes out, and at the end this big pot of nectar comes out. Now, if we try to understand the symbolism of this, imagine our own mind, our own self, in our own head. Often we go through life and life's experiences, and churning of our own thoughts is actually really important. When that churning happens, when that manthan happens, that constant asking and seeking and questioning ourselves, going through the phase of confusion and then finding more answers. That kind of churning is really important. And what might first come out is a whole load of random things, including a lot of negativity, a lot of poison. But eventually what will come out is the nectar. And this, Paishri was referring to, obviously, in this particular Ramkatha, one of the main focuses that he's talking about is Lord Ram's younger brother Bharat, this wonderful gem in the Ramcharitmanas, in the Ramayana, that's hardly ever been spoken about. And here's this character of Bharat who's going through a whole load of emotions. He finds out that his father has died. He comes back to the city of Ayodhya. He finds out that his older brother Ram and his wife and other brother Lakshman have been banished into the forest for 14 years. He finds out that his own mother was instrumental in that decision happening, and that resulted in his father's death. All of these things are happening, and a whole load of negative emotions come out. A lot of anger comes out, a lot of guilt comes out, a lot of resentment comes out. And these feelings then get replaced gradually with feelings of sheer love. And so in the story of the Ramayana, in that particular episode of the Ayodhya Kand, Paishri was taking us through, sentence by sentence, the various conversations that took place, where that transformation from negativity to positivity happened, where the poison eventually got replaced by the nectar. And that was really, really interesting. For those of us who are on that spiritual path, we understand that we all go through our ups and downs, right, Prithi? Like, you know, we can't be positive all the time. Sometimes we go through phases of negativity, anger, all these negative emotions come out. And I think they are necessary at times. That poison has to come out for us to then be relieved of that and for the true nectar to then reveal.
If you're angry with somebody, you can't be angry with them forever. So if you shout at them, and you're not going to be angry with them forever, every time you speak to them, there's got to be a point where you will calm down and talk calmly, because you have to, don't you?
But, you know, also some of those negativities aren't always bad. If they are managed in the right way and used in the right way, they can be quite useful tools for our own benefit. So an example that Paishri spoke about today was, for example, something like mercury. You know, it's poisonous. If we ingest mercury, we will die. But actually, often mercury is used, or was used back in those days, by doctors as a medicinal tool. Imagine right now, you know, we have COVID-19. The vaccines that we're all getting are actually a form of that virus. But it's been transformed in a slightly healthy way to help us get better. And so I think that the point there that Paishri was saying was that sometimes those negative characteristics, sometimes that what we might call the poison, if it's used in the right way, it can come to our own benefit. Now, the person who can understand that and the person who can administer that is someone who's a realized person. Again, a guru, a guide, a mentor, a doctor, someone who can administer these substances with the right strength for our own development. That sort of person is hard to come by. But when you find that type of person, then, you know, our lives can change.
But do you think it's possible that a person who's constantly negative, and I can actually think of somebody like that, that I have actually come across and that I still know, more so because of their life experiences, because they think they've been hard done by, you know, do you think there's any room for them to improve?
Absolutely. We've all met people who their lives have changed, and that change could happen early on in life or much, much later. In the Ramayana itself, and in the other scriptures and the Puranic stories, there are so many incidences where people's lives have changed, and that transformation happens sometimes just by the touch of a guru, sometimes from the darshan of the Lord, sometimes by hearing some wonderful words, hearing the holy name, sometimes by reading something that's so profound. Change can happen at any time from any reason, and it's very unpredictable. But I think personally, I'm always hopeful that people will change. I don't really focus on other people, Prithi. I think we have to look at ourselves, right? We've all got negativities in ourselves. If you just focus on our own negativities and how we can improve those and how we can make that inner transformation happen, then actually the outer world also changes along with us.
So in terms of the people that are listening to the Katha on a daily basis, do you think that they can relate to this? Or do you think that they think, we're perfect. We're religious, spiritual people. You know, we don't need to change. We're connected to the divine. And it's just nice to sit here and listen to the holy name and chant God's name. We're fine. Or do you think that actually they sit there because they want to better themselves? Or do you think that they want to connect more with the Lord? Or do you think that they're totally lost souls? They are probably thinking, my life is such a mess. Let's hope Bhaishi can help sort this out.
I don't think anyone who is a true seeker and a true aspirant of spirituality would ever think that their life is perfect or that they're perfect or that they have no negativities. I think the very path of spirituality makes you, it provides you with a mirror that you can look at yourself and you can see your own negativities and your negative tendencies and make them better. It's a bit like Prithi, and I'm sure when you, you know, get ready and you do your makeup and you get, you know, dress up to go to one of your shows or to, you know, you can never spend enough time getting ready. That's what a mirror does. It shows us how we look. We can never be completely perfect. So I think that satsang, spirituality, kathas like this provide us with that opportunity to look at the negativities within us. Like in any field, whether you are a professional working in finance, whether you are in the legal firm or you are, you know, in a, any particular career path, there's always room for improvement. There's always the next stage that you can go to, the next step up in the ladder. And similarly in spirituality, it can take not just one lifetime, several lifetimes for you to attain that sort of feeling where your negativities and all your bad tendencies have gone.
This is the iSpirituality Show from iGlobal. Find out more about the iSpirituality Show and other big events such as the Great Big Indian Money Show on the 26th and 27th of March by logging on to the iGlobal event section on iglobalnews.com.
Bhaishi also spoke about when Ram kills Taraka. For me, how can God, first of all, kill Taraka? He's God. What's the meaning behind why God feels a need to go and kill this demon, Taraka? Why doesn't he leave it to all the negative people or all the other demons to go and do that? He's divine. Why is he doing it?
The incarnations of the Lord, as described in all of our religious texts, have taken place for a variety of reasons. One is to protect the devotees. One is to kill the evil tendencies, the evil demons that exist there. Now, let's look at this symbolically, because if you don't believe that these things really happened, if you don't believe these incidences took place, that there was this evil Rakshas called Taraka and Ram came and with one swift bow, an arrow, killed her. If let's look at this symbolically. All of these Rakshas characters, all of these demonic characters, they exist within us. They're in our mind, they're in our heart, they're within us. We need to destroy them from using the good that's within us. The Ram in us has to kill the Ravan in us. That's the essential story in all of these epic tales and our Puranic tales and our Itihasic tales. Now, this particular story that Bhaishi was talking about today is when Ram goes into the forest to kill Taraka. Now, Taraka here represents something which is basically our false desires. And if we don't nip that in the bud early on, the false desires, that can give birth to a lot of other demonic tendencies. And I think that's why this incident happens quite early on in the Ramayana, as a sort of way of saying this false desire tendency in our mind needs to be nipped in the bud much earlier on, otherwise it will lead to bigger problems further down.
I'm sure lots of people will ask that question, but he's the divine. But what you're saying is actually just a symbolism, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have to understand that these religious texts, the Ramayana, the Srimad Bhagavat, the Mahabharat, all the various different Puranic texts that we have, some of them have evolved over years. The stories have modified and merged and changed. And you can go into a whole big debate about whether this really happened or not, or whether this happened at this place or not. And there were lots of people who tried to link these tales with real life places and tried to map where exactly did Ram kill Taraka and what year did Ram kill Taraka and what year did this incident take place. And all of that's very interesting for anthropological people and for historical people. But essentially, we have to understand the symbolism behind these stories, because if you focus on trying to understand the history of it without actually understanding the meaning of the tale, then you've kind of missed the point a little bit. So whether it happened or not, where it happened or when it happened is of less importance, but why it happened, what's the story there? What is Tulsidas ji in this poem of the Ramcharitmanas, the Ramayana, what is he trying to tell us? And can we go away with those lessons and imbibe them in our lives?
But anybody that still wants to join in, and they can watch the Katha wherever they are, in whichever part of the world they're in, and just join in via sandipani.tv. Well, over to you again, Tony.
And indeed, if anybody is actually listening to the iSpirituality show right now, it has been brought to you by iGlobal. And don't forget, there'll be regular updates on the iglobalnews.com website. And once again, Preeti Raichura and Bhavit Mehta, thank you, Rajadi, for joining us today. We're back with you tomorrow. You've been listening to the Spirituality Show, brought to you by iGlobal Radio. This is the iSpirituality Show from iGlobal. Find out more about the iSpirituality shows and other big events such as the Great Big Indian Money Show on the 26th and 27th of March by logging on to the iGlobal events section on iglobalnews.com.
iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iglobalnews.com. iGlobalnews.com.